Well, Project Veritas has done it again, and this is the news, according to me. Yes, well, I guess, once again, I'm coming to you from Chicago at the moment. I don't get to spend a lot of time in Chicago. I come through Chicago quite a bit, but I never spend any time here. Well, the next couple of days, I will be actually in Chicago. Well, I guess, I'm not sure if this is the actual little town I'm in is Chicago. I'm in Chicago. I'm between the airport and the city, okay? So let's just put it that way. This is, you know, might as well be Chicago. It's Chicago. I'm not downtown Chicago, but I'm in Chicago. And what I'm finding is that there is a tremendous number of places around here where it's not like Indiana. So the restrictions are kind of still kind of just ridiculous. However, having said all that, I don't have a cup. I have a cup that is in the refrigerator. There is a refrigerator in my room, and I don't have it next to me. So I don't have a cup. The cup that I do have has sweet tea in it, but I don't have a cup here with me. So there you go. Here's what's going on. The vaccine, Pfizer, Project Veritas, James O'Keefe, for those of you who don't know what that whole thing is, he's received a lot of bad press in the past couple of years, mostly because he has had, and this, again, comes back around to the DOJ. It's just a matter of time before the DOJ considers him a domestic terrorist for doing journalism. Because they see this kind of thing. He has filmed people doing undercover operations, which is something that 60 Minutes used to do all the time. Back when I was a kid, 60 Minutes would go into places with their cameras hidden in their briefcases or whatever, and they would do these undercover operations and sting operations. That's what made 60 Minutes what it is. And I mean, one of their main features was doing these undercover sting operation type things. And that's what James O'Keefe does. He does that now. Well, he was doing one of these. He went into the Planned Parenthood facilities all over the country, and he did some other things with other organizations, and like Acorn, stuff like that. Those of you who don't remember what Acorn was about, Acorn was disbanded and changed their funding was changed. They just broke up into a different group. So they ended up being, it's very interesting that he now has this whistleblower from Pfizer, a 10-year employee, somebody who's been in quality control for about 5 years, ran across some documents internally on the server of Pfizer while doing a search for something else. And just because of the nature of the search, it came up with this other information on some emails. And this is the bombshell stuff. The fact that they have apparently they've been using material from fetuses, that's what they're calling them, fetuses, children, aborted babies. They're using DNA and other things from those to. And just some really hokey pokey stuff. And of course, they're trying to cover it all up. The internal, you know, messages were very carefully crafted to say that we need to be careful about saying this because, you know, it could literally give people a whole other reason for not taking the vaccine for religious reasons. Because they're making this stuff out of fetal material. That was done in the process of creating it. It was also done in the process of, the other issue is that it could potentially be used actually in the vaccine itself. So this is pretty damning stuff. And I fear for this woman right now. This is going to be a problem. her life is probably on the line at this point. It's a good thing she came out with it when she did. Of course, now that she did, I can see where this may end up can be kind of the thing where she Epsteins herself, because she's playing with people with big money, and this is a serious allegations that are coming out. This whole thing, she has the documents. Now, of course, the mainstream media will play this down and say that he got this information illegally. He's a criminal. She's a criminal. She should have never taken that. It doesn't matter what the truth is. They just have to discredit these people because it goes against the narrative. And again, the narrative still to this day, and it's the feeding frenzy on this whole thing. It never ceases to amaze me. We continue to push and force a vaccine that, and I know I've said this before, and I'll keep saying it again because it needs to be very clear. It does not keep you from getting COVID. It does not keep you from spreading COVID. It only potentially reduces the symptoms. Now there are more and more studies coming out showing that that the efficacy of this thing is actually less than they thought in terms of how long it lasts. That's why they're coming out with the booster issue. Now, Pfizer funded a study, or it may have been Moderna. It may have been one. It was either Pfizer, Moderna, or I'm pretty sure it was Pfizer. It could have actually been AstraZeneca. I don't know. I think it was Pfizer. It was on Facts Matter. He came out and was talking about this report, the study that was funded by Pfizer, that said the effectiveness of the vaccine after 5 months is reduced by to the point or reduced to about 50% effectiveness, less than 50% effectiveness. I think it was like 47%. Now, keep this in mind. This means, what they're saying is they suggest you get a booster. Well, stop and think about this. So they want to sell boosters, and they want to get everybody in the country down to 6 months old vaccinated with this. Because at $20 a pop, this is huge. A huge amount of money. If they can do a booster, a third shot, and potentially a fourth, they can double their money. Now, we're being told what it costs to get the shot in the actual shot in the arm. We're not being told what the actual expense is of all this. Because the shot itself may cost $20. There's a lot more money flowing than that. There was research money, grant money, everything on top of all this other stuff, let alone the people who are actually doing the jabs are also getting paid. So this is, it's all under the guise of this is the only way we can all stop the virus. Or, it's our duty to stop the virus. We can get back to normal. If everybody gets vaccinated, we'll get back to normal. And yet that's not what we're seeing. They're on record many times saying things and basically telling you what you're seeing is not what you're seeing, what you're saying, or your lying eyes, what you're seeing isn't really what you're seeing. And they're doing the same thing here again. And anybody who calls it into question or has anything else to say is taken off. There was a newscaster recently on ESPN. Just simply came out and said she's all for the vax. She's not anti-vax. I think she's even vaccinated. She didn't say, I didn't hear her say she was, but she was actually pro-vaccine. She just, her only problem was she didn't like the fact that it was being mandated. She suggested and encouraged everybody to get the vaccine, but she didn't like the idea of it being mandated. She was basically pulled off the air for that. That, and she said some other things about Obama, basically saying that he wasn't, he, even though he identified as a black man, his mother was white. And she made the comment about her. It was kind of very, very critical and pretty tough, actually. Pretty tough statement. She said, his father was a black man who didn't raise him. He left. Left him to his mother and his grandmother, grandparents, to raise him, who were all white. It's kind of a slap in the face. And of course that was part of it as well. But they basically said the whole thing about the vaccine mandate was just a step too far. So now if you just criticize the mandate, you're just, you know, you're a criminal. You're canceled. Now, on top of some of this stuff, it's just creepy, almost to the point of being scary. It's just the fanaticism about getting this vaccine, and if you do not, how vilified you are in the process. Now, along with this, we have now surpassed, already in 2021, more deaths in 2021 already than we had in 2020. And that's with a vaccine. Okay then. And of course you don't hear about that anymore because Trump isn't in office. You'd have a ticker going across the screen on every other channel. The legacy media would have those things up all day long, talking about how it's all this president's fault. So we have that. And now, along with this, there's a lot of parents that are having, they're doing a lot of complaining and protesting at school board meetings. They're getting very irate. They're getting mad because their children. Now, I've heard some commentators say, "Oh, the country has lost its mind." One here in Chicago recently said something about that. Parents don't have much recourse here, other than to pull their kids out of school and to, you know, they've got to do something. Because they're not listening. The officials somehow think that they know best for your child, because after all, your child is just it's property of the state. That's the way they see it. They don't care what the parents think about all that. So you got that as well as, you know, that. So the AG, this attorney general, I'm telling you, this man is very, I'm just telling you, he's evil. I don't know any other way to say it. The current attorney general is not about justice and law and order. He is a complete political hack. Anybody who is a Trump supporter, he considers a white supremacist, domestic terrorist, insurrectionist, period. He is now entertaining and actually going after, at the request of some of these school board members, that these parents who are protesting, and some of them are going over the line. They're actually threatening, making threats, supposedly, allegedly, making threats to some of the school board members. And they've been requested that they be considered domestic terrorists and going after them. Well, of course, that just follows in line with they're domestic terrorists as well as white supremacists and racist and all the other things that they're going to be called. Because, those are apparently, here's the thing, and this is what I think that we have to realize there's no law against being racist. There's no law against being a bigot. If you exercise bigotry in a way that disenfranchises someone, now you've committed a potential crime. But just the fact that you don't like a particular race is not against the law. If a black person doesn't like whites, guess what? You have that right. If a white person doesn't like black people, you have that right. Sad to say, it's a sad situation for you. But at the same time, there's no law against that. Nor should there be. Is it morally and ethically wrong? Sure, yeah. But it's not a punishable crime. Until you act on that, this is why I have a really hard time with the whole hate crime thing. Now, hate crimes used to be, it was an added-on thing to a sentence. If an individual committed a murder, and it was considered a racial murder or a hate crime, what they would call a hate crime, then there was an added-on disciplinary action. Now it's become to the point where it's just hate speech. Hate speech is a crime. That's where we're going with that. And just a hate crime in and of itself is a punishment. And this gets to intent. If someone murders someone, it's probably not because they love them. Okay, it's probably because they don't like them or they hate them or whatever reason it is, or they want their money or whatever it is. It should be just punishable by the act that they did. The act that they do, regardless of how they felt about the other individual, shouldn't matter. They commit a crime. But that's not the way, of course, the political correctness has to have an elevated thing in there. That's just adds to it. And I'm not sure I agree with that at all. I'm not sure I totally disagree with it. But I'm 99% I disagree with it. I just think a crime should stand on its own. And that the crime and punishment should be just fitting for the crime and the punishment. That's my two cents right there. So the one thing about this booster is, when's the next booster going to come out? Now, this thing has barely been out very long at all. We're already talking about boosters again. Now, I just heard in Chicago on my way here this morning, there was the Chicago public school system. It's called CPS here, the Chicago Public Schools. They've just changed their tune on some of the quarantine issues and some of the issues involving COVID. Apparently there's been like 17,000 students or 16,000, almost 17,000, 16,000, I think, quarantined this year so far. Only 258 have actually had COVID. Less than 0.5% of the students have even contracted COVID. Now let's talk about how many have died. There you go. We just talked about it. And yet they're still in a frenzy about protecting the children. And of course the children, they need to get vaccinated. There's this expectation from a vaccine that when you're vaccinated, you have immunity. That's not apparently the case now. They're finding that infection rates among vaccinated people now are just about as high as they are among the unvaccinated in terms of the cases. Now, and what you're going to see is this is going to diminish drastically because the rest of the people who are, the way these spikes and the way this whole thing works, now there's more people now today that have natural immunity than had it before because more people have had the virus. There's higher numbers of people within that rank, the ranks of unvaccinated, who are also developing as they get the virus, they're not developing natural immunity. This thing is going to take a turn at some point because, and here's, so I'll get back to what I said about this yesterday, or was it yesterday or day before? I think it was yesterday. The issue now is if you take the vaccine, you contract the virus, will you develop natural immunity? Or will the vaccine prevent you from doing that? Most of the time, the flu shot, the theory on the flu shot, the way that normally works every year, and the reason you have to get a different one is because the flu changes every year. However, if you catch the flu and you recover from it, you don't need to get a flu shot that year because now you've recovered from it. You now have antibodies to that year's flu. Now, the problem is every year the flu kind of changes a little bit. It morphs and it supposedly, now I don't, there's a lot of theories about that, conspiracy theories about that as well. So be that as it may, the issue here is the vaccine and this current virus, the way it works, it has apparently we're going to need boosters now for this thing because the virus is continuing to operate even among the vaccinated. Now, there's a lot of issues here and a lot of unknowns still within the whole thing. Now, I can sit here and say that, all I'm doing is speculating and it's just conjecture at this point. I have the right to have theories and opinions and hypothesize because without that, we don't have the skepticism that goes along with what science really is. We can continue to say that, nope, the vaccine, it's settled. The science is settled. This is kind of like a global warming thing. Science is settled. We have a consensus. Well, you have consensus because you only listen to the people you want to listen to. You censor everybody who disagrees with you. So that way you can get your consensus. So as we continue on with this whole thing, it's going to be interesting to see how it unfolds. Now, I have the feeling you're going to continue to put the squeeze on, and it's become more and more evident to me that, in fact, I just heard yesterday that there were some commentators that were basically conservatives who were claiming that ivermectin, okay, whatever that stuff is, it got called horse paste of some kind or something, horse something, by a particular commentator, I think, on one of the legacy news medias. These people were parroting that. They were saying it, that it's ivermectin is not an FDA-approved therapy drug. They also said that hydroxychloroquine is not an FDA-approved therapy, medicine. It absolutely is. And it costs, off-brand hydroxychloroquine costs like 50 cents a pill. Whereas, or less, I think less than that, actually. Whereas the stuff that they are trying to sell that's been developed for, specifically for COVID, I think is like $5,000 a treatment. This is all about money, and it's sadly it's this big shift. There's also some other things going on, and Trevor Loudon, just want to touch on this real quickly. It's kind of a left turn, but I want to touch on it real quickly. Trevor Loudon did a really good show. He has a show called Counterpunch. It's on Epic TV. He also occasionally posts little episodes on YouTube. He can't always put much on it because he gets censored a lot. But he was talking about the Communist Party, the Communist movement, Marxist movement, in Mexico. The leader, the new government regime there now in Mexico, is going to move into more of a Venezuela-style form of government. They're going to have socialist communism type situation there. What's probably going to happen, and this is just a matter of time. Now, the open border situation that we have on our southern border is all a part of the whole Marxist idealism. They need to have that flood of people coming in who will go along with and change the demographic on understand, because they don't understand. If you have not lived in an individualist, capitalist, true capitalism society, you have no idea what that kind of freedom and liberty is like. These people do not understand that at all. They've not lived in that concept. They've not been educated in it. They don't understand anything about it. All they continue to hear from the left is that capitalism is evil. And when you think of capitalism, you think of big corporate capitalism, people like Amazon, you know, Bezos and Google and all the big high-tech companies. And yet those are the companies that actually are funding the march and the headlong run into communism, whether they realize it or not, just by the sheer, you know, their sheer greed, what they're doing. When the Mexican government collapses under this socialist mentality, and it will, it'll become just like a Venezuela, you will see another tremendous flood of people across the border from Mexico. At that point, we are overrun. We're being invaded the way it is. There is a path to citizenship, by the way. There's been one for many years. Just simply getting here and demanding citizenship is not the path. There's an immigration process. We allow in over 1 million a year, legally. But when you have people just busting through the border, that messes all that up. So, you stop and think about how this is changing the demographics in terms of voters. The Democrats need them. And that's why they're letting them in, regardless of whether they have COVID or not. And who knows what other kind of variants they've got. It is absolutely ridiculous and disingenuous for them to sit and say for any second whatsoever that they care about people. They don't care about people at all. So, just a quick show to bring up some of these issues. I'm going to have another show tomorrow night. I'll have a little chance to do maybe a little bit longer of a show. And I'm going to talk about some of the developments that have been going on in terms of things that are out there and things that aren't being talked about that much. But it's some of the off-topic stuff from the talking points and the talking heads on, you know, stuff like Fox News and all the other stuff that's going on out there. The conservative, so to speak, conservative talks. So, in the meantime, I would just like to encourage all of you with a couple of words. One is, God is still on the throne. And prayer changes things. And if we as a nation can find it within our hearts, even just a small group of us can get on our knees, pray and intercede for this country, things can change. So God bless everybody. This is Wednesday, October 6th, 10:42 p.m. Have a great night. God bless.